Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. We got a full board, man. We got a full day. We got a lot of stuff to get to. And good to have you with us. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm great. I watched really incompetent kicking last night on the football TV screen.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. You know what? Kaimi's going to miss one every now and then. But for the most part, thank God he's not one of these. Even Zuerlein. Thanks. Thanks for not being that Bills kicker who looks like I honestly thought he won a fan contest or something. They're like, oh, wow, that's nice. They let this is a make-a-wish thing or something. these guys can't kick for squat.
He missed in the playoffs last year. He's the reason the Chiefs kept going on in the playoffs last year. Tyler Bass is his name. Man, there was Zuerlein boinked a couple off the left upright. The Bills win, by the way, last night, for those just waking up. So The Fire Robert Saleh experiment so far is 0 for 1.
It looked like it couldn't be any worse than possible because, for one, the change that Robert Saleh had planned on making, getting rid of the offensive coordinator, swapping him out, that looked like there was a little bit of extra juice to the offense. It didn't work. I couldn't capitalize on it, really.
Yeah.
But and then defensively, there were administrative errors on the sideline where, hey, you got your defensive coordinator, now moved to head coach. How do you get it? Okay. Can we even get the right personnel on the field? Nope, can't. Felt a whole lot like our first go-round with Richard Smith back in 2006.
Okay. 2006, yeah. That is not
Lance,
a compliment.
Lance Zuerlein has a very famous impression of what it looked like on the field that involves breathing heavily.
Is that the one with all the defensive linemen running on and off the field all the time?
Yeah, Lance.
I remember that.
we couldn't get the right personnel on the field. So Lance and John did Lance did an impression of like all the guys because I was a nose tackle. I was 315 or 30 pounds, just like Seth, get on the field, sprint out there, and then they're yelling, no, nickel. Everybody else swapping out. And then I had to run back on the field after a timeout.
Awful.
And
awful.
Lance's impression nailed it. I was like me just being like, okay, I'll get back in.
That's why you hated him so much, Richard Smith. He made
Richard Smith, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying Lance.
No, not Lance. Yeah,
no, it was a really good impression.
No, I meant Richard Smith.
I listened to it live on radio. I couldn't download it to my MP3 player back then.
You hear it live. Yeah, man, you had to hear it live. One of the things, so last night, you're right. The Jets, they moved the ball a little bit better. Kicker didn't do him any favors. The referees were awful in this game. The referees made this game totally unwatchable. Both teams had 11 penalties. You know how frustrated we got those games where the Texans had 11 or 12 penalties because it slowed everything down and it was so stupid? Both teams had 11 penalties last night. My favorite was when they would show Nathaniel Hackett up in the booth. Nathaniel Hackett, demoted offensive coordinator who got to keep his title of offensive coordinator but wasn't calling any plays, and he had his Surface tablet in front of him, and all I could think of is, I don't know what game he's playing on there right now. I wonder if he's playing Candy Crush or VZ.
Solitaire, most likely.
Reprising Angry Birds from back in the day. Yeah.
That was his booth of solitude up there.
Boy, poor Nathaniel Hackett.
Since we're, by the way, there's a Texans angle to that, since we're talking about coaches in the booth. Yeah. I can't remember if I ever told you this or not. Remember the one year I went up and I did the pregame show from Buffalo? So that they let me sit in the Texans broadcast booth, which was right next to where the Texans coaches were.
Right.
And we were about an hour and a half or so before the game.
Yeah.
One of the Bills stadium staff ducked their head in, and they were like during a commercial break, and he said, "Hey, sir, with the people next door are asking if you can quiet down a little bit." And I'm like, oh crap.
It was Texans coaches that were asking you to quiet
Texans
down?
Texans coaches
asking
via
a Bill staffer?
Yeah.
I would have, I would have gotten up, because that was in the middle of the David Culley season where frustrations were high. I would have pulled.
Oh, what am I? Am I disturbing your immaculate game plan?
Thank you. That's exactly what I would have done. I would have gotten up, poked my head in, and said, "You ain't winning anyways today. Shut up and let me. Hey, let's at least have one part of this production that we're putting on for the next 9 hours and sound good." Okay.
If it had been the Bills coaches, I probably really would have leaned into it. I'm like, screw these guys.
Right.
I felt awful because it was the Texans coaches. So then I gave what was probably the worst pregame of my entire pregame career, which is now it spans over a decade.
Yeah. Whispering.
I was basically, you know, we've experimented with this where I've tried to speak with the same amount of energy, but not the same volume. And it's impossible. I don't know what I can't figure it out. Talk to all the greatest experts in the land and none of them can figure it out. I did a really boring monotone low voice.
Well, it would have fit in that season. That was a horrible season. So it may as well have a horrible pregame
that
show.
Game itself.
That was
terrible. I mean, it rained as hard as I've ever seen it rain.
I remember.
Like, it was a hard, like, for an extended period of time. It was just, it was ugly. Remember, the first half was kind of close. The Bills were sloppy too.
I remember Lonnie Johnson getting an interception.
Close.
I remember Lonnie Johnson getting an interception in that game. And probably saying
to
myself,
memory of that.
I was probably saying to myself, oh my God, Lonnie Johnson.
I went over. It was kind of cool because in the second half, I was like, all right, there's nothing to see here. I'm going to go hang out with my brother and his friends.
That was fun, I bet.
No, because I was stone cold sober and they were like on the. They were in the 72nd hour of a weekend that had the high school reunion.
And they're Bills
fans.
That
was fun. I got to hear the stories from my brother's friends who had hooked up with girls from, like, girls who I used to idolize, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what they look like now, but in my mind, they were the girls who were seniors when I was a freshman. And I'm like, oh, wow.
This is pretty good. See, it was
no
a good
kidding.
Day.
All right. Yeah. All right. This is way better than whatever the hell's going on in the field right now.
Oh, man. I hate to take the mood down. Thoughts on Mario Edwards Jr. getting a 4-game suspension yesterday? Texan fans missed this. It was for substance abuse, right? It wasn't PEDs.
Substances of abuse, not PEDs.
Right.
I knew as soon as it was a 4-game suspension, the PEDs, they've got different categories and everything, and your suspensions can be anywhere from 2 to 5 to 6 to 17.
Yeah.
If you hear one of those numbers with a suspension, there's a good chance it was a substance.
Substance.
Performance enhancing substance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
4-game means, it suggests that, okay, this was... he's having a good time.
He's just chilling, man. They're 4-1. What are you going to do? 5-1.
This defensive line room, they chalked it full of veterans who can give guidance to Will Anderson. One of them has a PED suspension, but don't worry, he's coming back. The other good old street drugs.
The other one knows where to get the good stuff. Yeah,
the other one was caught huffing. Like, I don't know. I don't know what he was. What it was? But
oh my God,
it is what it is. Yeah,
it is kind of ironic that this happens the week they get Danico Autry back. Like, can we get the whole band together for one? You know, like 1 week here, all at the same time. That would be good.
Yeah,
it sucks though. Like, in all seriousness, Mario Edwards Jr. He's having a good year. I acknowledged him yesterday on the show. He got an acknowledgement during Acknowledge Me, and then less than 10
now
hours
I know
later,
why.
He's popped
in.
Right. I probably called attention to
it. You guys
it.
Are pretty tight, are you? You guys are just
thick as
hanging out. Where'd you crack? You got that idea at 2 a.m. apparently at an after party somewhere.
No, man. So Mario Edwards Jr. suspended 4 games. But yes, Danico Autry is coming back. Hey, by the way, Nick Caserio joins us tomorrow, 7:30 on the show. Tomorrow, 7:30.
Put his feet to the fire.
Oh yeah.
I've got a lot of issues with this
Dateline
man.
Style,
I gotta talk
sure.
to him now.
Yep. The wave of drugs in the Texans building. Yeah.
I've been watching that Vince McMahon documentary, so we might have to make it about wrestling the entire time.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't watched it yet. I texted him about it. He said that might be a bye week thing for him. You know, he's focused on, you know, trying to run a football team. Whatever.
That's the correct answer.
That's true.
Man, if I were a GM, I would just be delegating out the wazoo and then blaming everybody else for the mistakes.
And then go watch the McMahon documentary.
A strategy that has been followed by... at times at NRG. So
many successful
Nick is
people.
Not that guy. Yeah.
No. How many episodes in are you right now?
I got to the point where there was a lot of drama between the wrestlers. That was that's where I am.
Oh, that point. I got you. I know exactly.
I think I finished 2 episodes.
Okay.
I write at the WCW, like where they're still in the middle of their
the Monday Night Wars
straight weeks or whatever. Yeah.
WWE's getting their ass kicked. Okay, good.
It's hard for me. It feels a little bit like Ford versus Ferrari.
A little bit.
Where I'm like, all right, am I supposed to be pulling for You know, Ford versus Ferrari is a really good historically based movie where Ford takes on Ferrari, but it's also like, and you're pulling for Ford, yeah, the Americans, but then you also realize, like, but it's also just a mega corporation taking over, you know, like,
yeah,
beating down on somebody with less resources.
Yeah.
And that's where, that's what WCW, they're presenting themselves as the underdog, but they've got, like, Ted Turner just putting millions and millions more dollars into it.
Yeah, it depends on which side you talk to. It's like, yeah, it's fun, and it's hard now, too, knowing what we know about Vince McMahon now. Like, back then, he was portraying himself as, hey, we're a family-owned business. We pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps, and Ted Turner's trying to put us out of business. And now, you go back and watch a documentary, you're like, okay, well, I know it wasn't a little family-run business for long. I know it became a big publicly held company.
Plus, this documentary was done before a lot of the most recent,
the really bad stuff.
The bad stuff came out about Vince McMahon. So you're watching it, and they keep putting disclaimers up there. Hey, by the way, listen, we did this. We did before every episode and during it. They're like, hey, by the way, we conducted all these interviews before all that stuff came out. Yeah. So sometimes some of the Vince's denials about various behaviors are kind of like, oh,
they ring a little hollow. They ring a little hollow. So let's do this, because I want to get to some of the things D'Amico had to say yesterday, but we're up against it a little bit here right now. If you want to text into the show,
screw
you can.
The clock.
713-572-4610.
I'm on Mario Edwards time right now. I'm just going to.
In honor of Mario Edwards, we're just chilling all day today.
We're just going to cruise on through this predetermined.
Has he made a statement at
society, all? We're not listening to society's rules and these limits you want to put on us, man.
Come suspend us for four games, bro.
This is what they want you to do, all right?
I got a chair jammed underneath the doorknob of this studio. Come get us, bro. All right, Will Anderson yesterday. Will Anderson over the weekend. Big shifts in the Defensive Player of the Year odds based not only on Will, but one other huge thing that happened this weekend. So we will get to that. We'll get to all the headlines later on this hour as well. We got a busy show. Ross Tucker joins us at 7 o'clock today. Yeah, Ross Tucker.
I'm so excited. We got Ross Tucker. We got Nick Caserio tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's a fun week.
We got a petty cast. We got a good petty cast at 8 o'clock today.
As much as I can limit the actual talking with you, Sean.
Don't worry. I got plenty of extras. All right. So we'll get to Will Anderson and the effect on the Defensive Player of the Year odds. Texan fans are going to be excited about this. We'll get to that coming up next.